Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. I want to welcome in our next guest, the editor of MERS Newsletter, columnist, City Pulse, Kyle Malin. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, how you doing, Jack?
Just fine. Interesting to hear that Virge Bernero is not big on polling technology. I imagine, given the numbers, he wouldn't be.
No, I don't think he would be right now. All the polls are showing him right around 20%. That Rasmussen poll that was released yesterday was really a killer because it's really the only one up to now that has shown him within even 13 points outside of his own poll, which, you know, I don't know how much stock you can put in that. But Rasmussen has had him at about 13 points back, and now even that's got him at 20. It's just really a punch in the gut.
Are you surprised that he has not been able to close this margin? I think even races that appear lopsided at some point tend to constrict as Election Day grows nearer.
Yeah, this has been a different race in that respect. You know, even with Granholm and Posthumus, with Granholm, Dick DeVos, Jim Blanchard, John Engler, yeah, the margin did shrink. But in this case, it's been really interesting that the people that made their mind up fairly early, that they liked Rick Snyder, they weren't all that keen on Virge Bernero. And, you know, it was just a matter of them already having an opinion on the one guy and not really having an opinion on the other. It really first forced Virge Bernero to go negative before he had to go positive, and he really hasn't gone positive on the year so far. So, I mean, it really forced him to go negative on somebody that the public really already had an opinion of and they already liked. And, you know, the same stuff that they used on Dick DeVos in 06 just wasn't going to stick this time. And am I surprised? Not really. I was thinking that it would get a little closer, but it obviously isn't.
How much, in terms of percentages, Kyle, would you guess people's mindset, their determination to vote for a candidate in this election is based on policy, and what percent is based on personality?
I think it's probably 60% personality, 40% policy, because the policy end are those diehard Republicans who are going to vote for the Republican no matter what, and then a few of the independents who are going to base their decision based on, well, he's a little bit more right of the other guy, so whatever. A lot of it, though, is personality. You can't discount it at all. Is the person likable? Is it someone that you can relate to? And Rick Snyder has been able to cast himself in a way that is presentable, make him look like a real person. That's very important to voters, I think, right now. They just want somebody to get in there who has their stuff together, you know, who isn't a career politician, who can go in and, you know, fix things because they fix things in their regular lives. You know, I think there's a disconnect right now between the politics that the folks see and the outside world. It's like it's two different worlds, and it's almost as if voters just want their world to be in charge, as if it's two totally different things.
Right. I want to talk a little bit about the Attorney General race and some allegations today that David Layton receiving death threats. There's a lot of talk about anti-Semitism and homophobia in this campaign. But is this about as tough a campaign as we've seen in a while?
Yeah, this has gotten a little nasty. And, you know, this all stems from David Layton being a Genesee prosecutor. And when you're a prosecutor, you do have a record in that you've had to prosecute cases that are tough, or you decided not to prosecute cases because the facts weren't there. And in many, many cases, you're going to make someone angry. You're either going to make angry the person that you're going after, or you're going to make angry the person who feels like you weren't tough enough. And in this case, there was a woman in Flint named Deb McIntosh who doesn't think David Layton was as tough as he could have been. Feels like he backed out on a deal that was made in regard to the murder of her son. And she approached Bill Schuette in the Michigan Republican Party, said this guy's not truthful. And they were more than willing to take it. I mean, it was kind of like the Willie Horton ads back in the Mike Dukakis election back in 88. The same kind of thing. They were willing to take it because it questioned this guy's integrity. And so now Deb McIntosh becomes somewhat of a public figure. She's willing to go on TV. say what you will about what she has to say, you can't disagree that the ad itself is very emotionally powerful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And really strikes a chord with people who are watching it. Now, Deb McIntosh has had this campaign about David Layton not prosecuting the other two people who allegedly could have had a part in her son's killing for about 4 years. She's been on this for some time now. And so she's had a support group of sorts in Genesee County, and she is very vocal in the various media. And the Flint Journal has one of those responding feedback pages that the Journal has, and she went on there and made some statements in which she connects David Layton, who is Jewish, to this the Jewish owners of the Flint Journal and saying that the two are in cahoots. And if you read the message, I mean, it's somewhat of an angry message. There's no question about it. And it's very easy to for a reader to insinuate that she's bashing the Flint Journal and David Layton because they're Jewish. And you can really make that insinuation. It's not very hard. And it's not a leap. Now, I talked to her yesterday. She said that is not my intention at all. That just happens to be the link between the two. I mean, it could have been any other characteristic, but it just so happens that it's Jewish and they're in cahoots because that's their connection. Not because it's a Jewish thing, she said. It's just that's how they know each other. Or
she
whatever.
Refers to the Flint Journal as the Flint Urinal.
Yeah, but how many people refer to the Lansing State Journal as the Lansing State Urinal?
Yeah, well, a lot. Having worked there for 25 years, I can tell you.
Yeah, I mean, that's not necessarily the bad part, but when you read her message, you can definitely see where you can get an anti-Semitic message out of that.
Yes,
well,
yes.
The Democrats grabbed a hold of that, and in the meantime, this ad that Deb McIntosh is on definitely struck an emotional chord. A gentleman in Oakland County apparently called up David Layton's office. The number that is on the screen that says, call David Layton if you're upset, he went ahead and called that number and left an explicitive or a profane laced message on that answering machine. I listened to it about 17 times last night trying to make sure I got it exact.
It is expletive laced, believe me.
It absolutely is.
It really is.
A lot of F-bombs in there. I think I counted 13 of them. And then, you know, it was pretty nasty. So they're obviously going after the guy because it's a bit scary. Have you heard it yet, Jack?
Yeah, I have heard bits of it, but I've also read the MERS newsletter piece.
Yeah.
And whenever someone says, I hope you get murdered in a spectacularly horrible way.
Yeah.
That makes your bleep, 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 wish people didn't exist.
Yeah.
I would say the guy's a little upset.
Yeah, and apparently he's had a record before, from what I understand. They're trying to track him down, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that later.
If I ever see you driving or walking, maybe I'll swerve your way, and maybe I'll bleep run you over.
This is the problem when you blend politics, I think, with something so emotionally charged and so personal. You know, and I think that's a danger that you can get into, because you can say, in a political sense, that David Layton is soft on crime. Okay, you can say that he doesn't go after criminals when he should. Or you can say David Layton doesn't keep his word. When you inject as much emotion as Deb McIntosh has in those ads,
right,
it's going to generate this kind of response. It's a little bit of a powder keg, no question about it.
I've not spoken with Deb McIntosh. I'm going to try to do that. But I'm also interested in inflammatory remarks that Michigan Messenger picked up on in the Andrew Sherville bullying case in a blog post saying, I'm tired of hearing gay people whine and cry. They're such little girls. Grow up and be a man.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this guy just doesn't know when to stop, does he? I mean, seriously, I mean, doesn't he realize why the attention is on him, why he's had to take a leave from his job? I mean, the tone is one thing, and obviously the fact he's going after someone who's the student body president of a university, I mean, how obscure is that,
right,
is another thing. But, I mean, the message itself and the tone, I mean, I just can't believe he hasn't gotten the clue that, hey, this isn't the 1900s anymore. I mean, this stuff isn't cool.
Well, I think those last remarks,
for a long time.
The last comments that you heard were from Deb McIntosh. that actually that was in a blog post that she made those remarks. So very interesting to see how this is going to turn out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what happens. You inject emotion and feelings into politics, and this is the kind of stuff that you get. It's a little nasty.
Now, we had Rick Snyder and William Milliken meeting today.
Yeah.
And I don't know at this point how much endorsements mean, but I think there are a lot of people who are looking for a conciliator in government, someone who can bring people together. And William Milliken had a history of doing that.
Yeah, he did. A lot of the moderates, I mean, the moderate Republicans for the small class of individuals, that is, just think Bill Milliken is, I guess, the apex of gubernatorial presence here in Michigan, and even Democrats, too. I mean, he was able to bring Republicans and Democrats together, from what I understand, in a very congenial way. When I hear of political stories from the 70s, it is always in the best of terms that folks were able to get along, and that there were politics, but it was always the policy first, and then the politics came after it.
Right,
whereas
right.
It appears now, from the old timers tell me, it's the politics first. The policy, if there's some good policy that can come of it, then that's a great second benefit. But it's no longer the first benefit, and I think maybe that's the message that Rick Snyder is trying to bring here is, hey, look, if Bill Milliken is willing to endorse me, and I believe Bill Milliken was not on board with the last two Democrats, if I remember right. I believe he was with Jennifer Granholm the last two times.
Yeah.
Definitely sends a message.
Yeah. The last time I talked with him, he told me some great stories about getting deals done with Coleman Young. And how they had to develop a relationship first, and then in their mutual best interests, they agreed that no one was going to get everything they wanted, which right now I think everyone wants everything, and they're not willing to take 70%. So that's part of the problem. He also told me that today's world, he never would have been governor because he's not electable.
Yeah, isn't that kind of sad? But he's exactly right. There has to be a lot more negotiations, I think, and a lot less focus on politically charged items that aren't really necessarily going anywhere, but kind of thrown out there to either appease the base or improve talking points or something that would look good on a flyer in a year and a half. Really, we need to look at policy together that benefits the state. I know that it's an old adage, but I think it's a good one, that good policy equals good politics. And maybe Rick Snyder is a representation of that, and maybe not, but I think voters are willing to take the chance that he is in the hopes that we get something different than regular stories about Republicans and Democrats not being able to work together in the House and the Senate and Michigan politics in general.
Well, we're going to have a chance to find out unless something changes dramatically in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that back in the beginning of the month was the time that Virge Bonaro was probably most in trouble. I wrote in the City Pulse that he was toast at that point. The numbers just hadn't been moving. I mean, for two solid months, he had put up negative ads on Rick Snyder, and the number or the percentage of folks that were moving was just so small, you could just tell it wasn't making a difference, no matter how much money the UAW and the Democratic Party were willing to spend.
Well, Virge's wife, Terry, said that he was a nerd when she met him at Adrian College, but apparently he's been out-nerded.
That could be. But you know what? I mean, again, though, that's going out and define yourself. I mean, Rick Snyder had a cute little message there, went out on a limb and called himself that. And I think that if the voters got to know Virge Bonaro, I think they would actually like him because he is a very passionate person. He says what he means. I mean, the comments that I get from people outside of this Lansing area is they just view him as kind of a slick politician. He looks like kind of like the mafia type, and you know that's not really Virge at all. The Virge that I know is actually someone who does work together well with individuals and is a very likable personality. And you know, it's just too bad that he wasn't able to get out a message and was able to frame himself. I think if he would have had a lot more time to really get together a campaign and raise money, I think we would see a lot different result because he really is a type of person I think that Michigan would like if they got a chance to know him.
And I think if anyone looks at where the city of Lansing is now and where it was, even people who don't like Virge Bonaro's personality have to like some of the results.
Oh, absolutely. And the guy works hard, and he knows how to get things done. He knows how to get business development here. Hey, nobody can gland hand better than Virgin. Nobody's going to go out and work it as much as he has, you know, and want to make things happen, will projects into existence. I mean, he's able to do that.
Yeah, and if things don't work out for him in terms of other jobs, you know, there are a lot worse things, Kyle, than being a transformative mayor of a city like Lansing. So.
Yeah, and I think that Verge will, I think this isn't the last time we see Verge running for an office. I mean, he may run for governor again, or he may run for Congress, and either way, I think that he has a future in politics. He'll continue, even if it is being the mayor of Lansing for the next 16 years or whatever.
Right.
I definitely think he has a future.
Kyle Malin, the editor of MERS Newsletter, columnist with City Pulse. Kyle, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jack.